I want you to pay close attention to this message this morning because I feel like it will help us all if we pay more attention to it. If you'll stand, we'll read you one verse of Scripture. I believe I can breathe now. 3 John 1 and verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth or prospers. Read one more time. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for another opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, God, for your love and mercy, for your guidance. And thank you this morning, God, for our visitors for the first time. God, we pray for the McGees, Lord, that you bless them and encourage them. And we welcome them with open arms today. And Lord, we thank you, God, for all the others that are here. We pray for the ones that are not. We pray, God, that some way, somehow, Lord, that you would help us to press through this thing and continue on. And if you return today, that's fine too. And we ask now, Lord, the blessing upon the message in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Soul prospering is a key to health and all other forms of prospering. This truth upholds the idea that it's God's will for all to be healed, and it explains why many are not healed. Did you ever wonder about that? Did you ever wonder it's God's will for everybody to be healed, but why is it that some people just don't get healed? Well, we're going to find out. Of course, most of you already know, but that's fine. Just something a little humorous. There was a Texan visiting Niagara Falls, and a New York tour guide said, "I know you have a lot of big things in Texas, but I bet you haven't got anything like this in Texas," pointing at the Niagara Falls. The Texan scratched his head and said, "No, but we have a plumber in Texas who could stop that leak." That verse of Scripture again, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as you're so prosperous. So prospering, as I said, is the key to health. If your soul is not prospering, how in the world could you expect anything else to prosper? I want to bring out 3 points in this message. One is, it's God's will for all to be healed. And number 2 is, healing is hindered by sin, S-I-N. And then number 3 is John's revelation about healing. So it's God's will for all to be healed. God's original intent in Eden was, in the Garden of Eden, it is a pattern of what God's perfect will for humans really is. Have you ever read where he said he replied that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? Moses permitted you to divorce, but it was not this way from the beginning. In the garden, before the fall or their fall into sin, there was, of course, no sin, no sickness, no death, no crime, no doctors, no paying taxes. They were perfectly healthy. This is God's best will for us. It wasn't until Adam and Eve sinned, until Adam and Eve sinned, that sickness gained entrance, and sickness is an invader into God's perfect world through sin. Folks, everything hinges right back on one big, huge mistake of the first couple in the Garden of Eden. sickness was not God's will, nor did sickness originate with God. It originated with sin. So if God's perfect will were to be restored, there would be no more sickness. Can I tell you that time is going to come? No more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, no more griping at one another, right? You get your griping and you better get it in a hurry and then repent right real quick before the Lord calls you out of this world. So there'll be no more sickness. This is what is really great. So God's covenant of sickness, of this healing rather, God's covenant of healing even with Israel was under Moses. God set up a sacrificial system of the Old Testament as a way to temporarily put away sin from the people until the permanent sacrifice in Christ was come. That's why God could dwell among them, the fire and the pillar of cloud, and they could approach God without dying because their sins were actually removed from God's sight. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, folks. Without the shedding of blood, and it started a long time ago. Actually, the shedding of blood really started in the Garden of Eden, even though sin began there. But actually, the shedding of blood started because God took an animal and slaughtered it and took the skin to cover their nakedness. Before that, they didn't know they were naked, so it didn't make any difference. Just the two of them anyway, the husband and wife, so it really didn't matter. But then after they sinned, they were trying to hide themselves from God. I want to tell you, a lot of people still trying to hide themselves from God, but there's no hiding place down here. You can run to the rocks and that, and then the last days, and we're heading in that last day, there's no doubt about it. People will run to the rocks and cry for the rocks to fall on them for the fear of things coming upon the earth. A lot of people are trying to run now and hide and all of this. We can't hide, folks, because we do know that these times are coming whether we are trying to hide or whether we're not. They're saying, don't look out, stay in your house and all this. Folks, you can't stay in your house, you starve to death. You got to get out and get some food. Can anybody say amen? We got to get out sometimes and do things, and hey, I'm so glad you're here because this is one of the most important things I think that we can probably do other than eating and drinking, of course. We'd die if we didn't, but being in the house of God. So here was a time that hey, God could look at the people because, or they could even look toward God because of the shedding of blood. And of course it was animals' blood. Millions and millions of animals lost their little lives because of sin. And that couldn't have went on forever because after a while we'd probably run out of any kind of meat to eat. That's just my little theory. So when their sins were removed, notice this, then sickness as one of these consequences was removed from them. Now notice what God said. God said, worship the Lord your God, and his blessings will be on your food and water. I will take away sins from among you, and none will miscarry or be born early, out of season, or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. Blessings rest upon them. Why is it that people's lives are cut short? Did you ever think about that? Good people, a lot of times, they're serving God and all this, and God just all of a sudden, he just calls them on home. Some things we just can't explain. But we do know sin can cut your life short. If you're serving sin, you're doing things wrong, hey, your life could be cut short very, very easy. Now, we serve a merciful God, a loving God, caring God, but he's also a God that gets angry at sin. And he wants us to do away with this sin thing and give our heart to him and serve him with all of our heart and do what is right. Did you ever wonder why a lot of young people, they die young and all of this? Well, if you don't obey your parents and you don't serve God, hey, your life could be cut short. Don't ever curse your mom and dad. You may not like them. You may not like what they do or correct you or whatever, but don't ever curse them. Don't ever say bad things about your mom and dad. You say, but my mom and dad done me bad. They told me to be good. No, they told you that for your own good, right? And God wants the parents to correct their children. But a lot of children die young because they won't listen to their parents. They won't listen to the pastor. They won't listen to anybody else. And they just think, hey, I'll do what I want to when I want to. And if they don't like it, let them lump it. God doesn't like that, folks. So when God brought them out of Egypt under the protection of the blood of the Passover lamb, the Bible says, now notice this, there was not one feeble person among their tribe or tribes. Now notice this, not one feeble person wasn't anything that hindered them from walking across. You know, it's amazing to me how I'm sure there was a lot of old people there. Elderly people, I should say, probably. A lot of elderly people there, but when that Red Sea opened up, you never hear about anybody trying to hobble along on a crutch. You never hear about anybody being pushed in a wheelchair. You never hear about somebody leading somebody along because they were too feeble or too blind or whatever it might be that they couldn't see. No, it wasn't that at all, because, hey, I want you to notice that, because He took away their sickness, and there was no feeble person among the tribes. When they crossed the Red Sea, everybody was well. Everybody was in good shape. Why? Because they did exactly what God told them to do. You kill the Passover lamb. You put the blood over the lintel and the doorpost. And you do like I tell you to do. And hey, they couldn't even sit down and eat. They had to eat the Passover meal in a hurry because they had to get out of there. God had a specific time for this to take place. God has a specific time for us, and we need to worship Him with everything that we've got. He's got a specific time to take us out of this life, to take us out of this world, and take us on home. When's it going to be, Brother Gordon? I have no idea, because that's out of my category. That's not my duty. That's God's duty, and He's the only one that can take care of all of this. But we do know, according to history, we're going to die one of these days. But it pays to be ready. All were made well and strong coming out. Now, I want you to notice something. Jesus atoned for all sickness. But let me back up just a minute. Can you imagine? Here, God led them out. They'd been 400 years in captivity. They'd been slaves. They'd been whipped. They'd been made work. The mamas, a lot of them, they'd take their baby as soon as he's born, throw them in the Nile River to the crocodiles. Yeah, that's right. And a lot of things took place there. But I want to tell you something, folks. They were evil. They were evil people, and they were destroying God's people. But God's people cried out. Folks, if you've ever cried out, you need to cry out now for your loved ones. You need to cry out for your neighbors. You need to cry out for everything that we can possibly reach to bring to God's attention, because God is looking for us to cry out. These people begin to cry out, and God heard their cry. They begin to weep and mourn and all of this. It's amazing how that they were being mistreated over there. And then, hey, so finally they got out of that place. God led them out by a man named Moses and Aaron there with him, his brother. But hey, but notice this, when they got to the Red Sea, and God just opened up the Red Sea as Moses stretched out his staff, and they crossed on dry land. They crossed on dry land. I don't know about you, but I've seen some ponds drained and different things. And I want to tell you something now. You try to get in that pond like that, and you sink up to your knees and maybe even get stuck in all of this. Can't even get out. But God had a plan. He had a wind that blew all night and dried up even the bed of this river. But when they got on the other side, then Here come the army right after them. And you know the story very well. And then the sea just closed back up and drowned them. Pharaoh and his army, he drowned them. Now here they are. They're rejoicing. Moses' sister, Miriam, she got some tambourines and things, and man, she was having a good, glorious time, praising and magnifying God for deliverance. But it wasn't very long. Listen, here's the thing about it. When God saves us, we are so happy, we're so joyous, but if we're not careful, we can allow the devil to sneak back in and zap up our victory. It wasn't long till they got across the sea and they started out, and God was feeding them with manna from heaven. They feeding them. They didn't even have to work. They didn't even have to do anything. Just praise and magnify God. But they got tired of God's food. They got tired because they wanted something else. And then they got their mind off of God and His leading and what He had for them, because He had a promised land for them. And He promised, hey, I've got a promised land over here for you. But they started complaining and carrying on like something they shouldn't have. Oh, back there, if we could just go back over there. Yeah, and they forgot about the slave part. They forgot about the beatings they got. They forgot about the stripes they got up on their back because they wasn't working hard enough and all of this. They forgot about their babies being thrown in the Nile River. They forgot about all of this. But then they said, hey, oh, just think, if we had those melons, if we could just go back, get the watermelons, hey, get the link, get all of this food, hey, it would be so much different, and all we have to eat is manna from heaven. All we have to do is just go out of the morning and pick it up enough to last all day. But He told us to not store it up. Some of them didn't even do that, but He said the worms would eat it, and some of them wanted to store it up, just like a lot of people. Rather than trust God for our everyday need, we think that we ought to have enough of the grace and the mercy of God to last us forever, which we do, but we need to take everything one day at a time, folks, not try to do everything in the entire our lifetime, because, hey, one day at a time, that's all we have anyway. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen to that? So Jesus atoned for all our sickness, all the sickness. For Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Jesus not only atoned for our sin, but also for our sickness as well. Now think about this. When the children of Israel came out, wasn't a sick person in the bunch. Why did sickness come on them? Because of sin. Sin caused sickness to come upon them. So when Jesus healed, when Jesus is healing sick bodies, notice something Matthew said. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. So Matthew was quoting Isaiah 53:4 when he said, when he speaks of the Messiah's atonement, including for sickness. Jesus bore our sins, and He also bore our sickness. Isn't this something? So Jesus was made sin for us, but He was also made a curse for us. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. But He took that for us, atoned for our sickness. Jesus' blood was shed for our sickness, but also His body was beaten for our sin, but He's also beaten for our sickness. By whom stripes we were healed. He forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. Jesus did it for us. Everything He did it for us. So we know what took place and all of this. But now, number two is healing is hindered by. Our healing sometimes is hindered by. By what? even through God, even though rather that God wants us to be healed and Christ atoned us for healing, we often do not receive healing. Why? Principally because the conditions are really not right for the healing. When the conditions gets right, it'll rain outside, right? Similar, when God's conditions are met, healing can freely be expected. What conditions for healing? One is free will. Do we really want to be healed? Do we really want it? First, it involves the idea of free will. Do we want it? The Lord Jesus asked the lame man if he wanted to be healed. It sounds like a stupid question for somebody to ask, especially our Savior Jesus, but he asked that question. The first step to receiving is to determine, do you want healing? There's some people that'll come for prayer and there's so much wanting prayer, there's so much wanting healing, but don't pray God to heal me till I get my check, till I get my disability. Then you can pray God to heal me. Is that a hindrance or not? Why even bother me to come and pray if they want to be prayed for like that? Why don't they just say, hey, I'm going to get that disability. Now, hey, disability is a great thing. Don't you get me wrong what I'm saying. But I'm talking about some people don't want to be healed because they would lose their check. Do we have faith that Jesus will do it? Talking about healing. Do we believe that God is a healing God and that he still works miracles? Anybody believe that? Including healing today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, as I said earlier, faith is an essential to receiving anything from God. Hebrews 11 and 6. Isn't that something? The church, wrong assessment. Here's just something that was supposed to have been put in the paper. There was a retraction printed in the newspaper, First Church Musical, and the paper the week before that should have not been put in there because they said, our God resigns. Of course, it was a misprint. But then they come back then and they retracted that and put our God, he doesn't resign, he reigns. And that's what they were trying to get in there to start with, but it was just a mistake. We know God reigns and he's going to reign right on until Jesus takes us out of here. And we're looking forward to that. So thankful we serve a God who hasn't resigned or given up on sinful people. God didn't give up on you, did he? He didn't me. I'm so thankful he didn't. And then the next one is disobedience. Disobedience is another issue. This can go many directions, like unforgiveness, unkindness to one's wife or husband, secret sin, sinning against the church, greed, etc. We need to confess and forsake our sins to be healed. James 5 and 16. This is what he says. Anything that hinders prayer will also hinder our healing. What do you think about that? Give you another little illustration right quick. A story about a little boy who went in the alley behind his house and found a part of a cigarette. He lit it and was smoking it. He saw his father coming and hid the cigarette behind his back. To distract his father from noticing the smoke, he pointed to a billboard of a circus and said, Dad, will you take me to the circus? His father answered, Never ask for a favor when there's a smoking disobedience behind your back. Sometimes God wants us to ask in the right manner. And he also wants us to be obedient to him until, and this is why, that sometimes your prayers are hindered. You're disobedient to God. What is it God asked you to do and you haven't done it yet? But God asked me a hard thing and I don't want to do it. There you go. Lack of knowledge also. There's something else. Lack of knowledge. A lot of people are, because it says right here, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 and 6. So there's a lot of things that can hinder us from being healed. And disobedience is one of them. And we talked about that. There's many things. There can be hidden sins that you just hadn't give up on. You can have hatred in your heart, unforgiveness. And a lot of these things, you may not receive your healing because of this. Many people aren't healed because they don't know and claim God's promise of healing. You got to claim it, folks. You got to believe it. God has a whole book right there of promises of it. Hey, we've got to get it right. We've got to trust God. So what is soul prospering? What is soul prospering anyway? The crucial point is, if we want healing in our body, we should aim to prosper or to be edified in a spiritual man. John saw that the key to being blessed by God is to determine our determination of our spiritual being. We need to understand this. He wants us to become new creatures in Christ Jesus, have a strong spirit. He wants your soul to prosper, folks. If your soul is not prospering, how in this world can you expect to get healing? If you're not obeying God, people say, well, I live pretty good for the Lord. Well, pretty good don't get it. You need to leave the pretty part off because sin is not pretty. Jesus said in John 15 and 5, and then also dropping down to verse 7 following, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And then dropping down to verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, notice this, if ye abide in me, that's Jesus' words. And then he goes on and says, and my word abide in you. But notice the latter part of this. This is a promise. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Plain and simple, right there it is. But what did he say? He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. How in the world can we ask anything and expect God to answer our prayers if we're not living the way we ought to and we know it? You can hide behind anything you want to and still call yourself a Christian, but you're not going to get much done. You say, well, that's plain words. It is, but it's easy understood, right? So we don't need to be hiding behind something. We just need to abide in the Lord. When we give ourselves to him, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. We know all that. But hey, we do know that we're abiding in him and in his word. We need to get in the word of God and see what the word says about the promises of God. See what the promises is in the Bible. See the things that he has promised that he'll give us. But everything in these promises have something. If two little words can knock you out of a lot of things that's promised to you. If what? If you abide. Notice what he said. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If this takes place, you can do. Listen, folks. Hey. Notice the good part. Ye shall ask whatever or what you will, and it shall be done. Plain and simple. In John's words, John talked about, and he was talking about the good works. His beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as you're so prosperous. So that's the thing about it. He wants you to prosper. God wants you to prosper also. This wish is not only John's wish, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's God's wish for every believer that we be as healthy in body as we are in our spiritual life. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how we can hold grudges and all of this and wonder why in the world that we're not seeing things take place? Are we abiding in Him? Are we abiding in His Word? Are we trusting Him? Do we want to be healthy? You say, well, why would you ask something like that? Jesus asked the blind man, do you want to be healed? In other words, do you really want to be healed? Well, sure he wanted to be healed, but even though it seemed like a harsh thing to ask, but hey, he had to know who it was he was talking to. He had to hear about Jesus some way, and no doubt he had. So, do you want to be healthy? That's the same thing I'm asking this morning. Nothing is impossible with God. Isn't that great? The little boy was traveling by train to see his grandfather. He was seated beside a skeptic, and he was reading a devotional book. The skeptic, seeing this, commented, son, if you can tell me something God can do, I'll give you a big, shiny apple. The boy replied, mister, if you can tell me something God can't do, I'll give you the whole barrel of apples. Now, how about this? He knew the little boy had enough sense to realize there's nothing that God can't do. God can't. He can do whatever he desires, right? So how many of you need a healing in your body? Don't raise your hand. How many of you want God to give you divine healing? But to get this divine healing, you need to get into the Word, get into prayer, and strive to obey God in your decisions. Come to the music, please. If you are always making decisions and you're leaving God out, you're not doing very well. But you need to let God in your decisions. You know, it's amazing to me, but if we leave God out of our decisions, what about if it's the wrong decision? I learned some hard lessons in my younger years about stuff like that. People say, well, must have been God's will. Must have been God's will. I borrowed $5,000, signature loan. Yeah, and you probably paid back about $1,000 interest or more. Was that God's will or not? You know, we need to understand some things, how good God is. It's God's will for us to be healed. It's God's will for us to live a good Christian life. But we do it as our soul prospereth. If our soul's not prospering, how in the world do we expect everything else to prosper? You see, Jesus is looking down and he sees our body and he sees the aches and pains and all. He sees all of this. But he's also interested in the inner man too. We've got to get the inner man right before we can expect the outer man to come in line. I know you can't shout on something like that. I understand that. I'm not trying to make you shout. I'm just trying to get you to understand that, hey, healing still comes from God. Jesus made it all possible a long time ago. You say, well, but he also said, as your faith be, so shall it be unto you. So I want to tell you, sometimes, folks, we just need to pray for our faith. Can you say amen to that? I believe everybody will agree to that, right? We need to pray that God will strengthen our faith. See, some people, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Your sins have been forgiven by their faith. This is what we need to continue working on our faith. Let's stand, would you, as they play and sing. The altar's open this morning if you'd like to come and pray. If you'd like to gather around the altar and just come and seek the Lord, ask God for help. Ask God. Hey, talk to him. Talk to him just like you would anybody else. Why? Because he's able to take care of you. He's able to see you through all of this. He is wonderful. He's gracious. And he is mighty. And I trust him with my life. Do you? Amen. What a great and a wonderful God we serve. Come, the altar's open if you want to pray.